All right, we're looking in Colossians tonight, back in chapter 3. Anybody need a paper? We got some back here on the table. All right. Brother Rick, you help me out there? There's some back here on the table. Groundhog, both of you can help. There's the ones laying not in the collection plate, but right there on the table. Should say Colossians 3, 12 through 21. Right here. Right here. Yeah. Right there. That should be there. Should say Colossians 3, 12 through 21. All right, hold your hand up if you... I'm going to start charging y'all. Y'all keep taking all these papers and stuff. Brother Rick tells us the first one or two is free, then we're going to have to charge you. All right. Well, that's okay. You first bring it back up. Yeah. You're supposed to take it home and read it. All right. Y'all, hold your ears. We're going to fight. We're going to fuss a little bit. No fussing allowed at home. We're going to do it out here. Big trouble. We ain't allowed to fuss at home. All right. Still two up here, Rick, if you got enough. Three up here. Four up here. All right. Yeah. Colossians chapter 3. Now, we've not had this since before camp, and everything has been going on. We had a week off of camp, and then Brother Boyd was with us there last Wednesday. So we missed a couple weeks, so we'll get caught up just for a moment. All right. We know Colossians is a prison epistle, and we're looking at the preeminence of Christ in all of these things. The preeminence of Christ in the gospel, the preeminence of Christ in redemption, the preeminence of Christ in creation, the preeminence of Christ in the church, the preeminence of Christ in reconciliation, the preeminence of Christ in the ministry. And then when we get to chapter 3 here, it's the preeminence of Christ in our life, that we exemplify Christ in every way. Now, what we're teaching here and what we're looking at in Colossians chapter 3 is not the super spiritual life. It's the normal Christian life. This is the normal. Okay? What is required here, what it says here for us to do, it's the normal. It's not if we do this, we're super spiritual. All right? This is what everyone should be doing normally, because we have Christ in us, hope of glory, and we've already been given everything to live the godly life that He says that we can live. We've already been given the ability, but the problem is we still fight this flesh, and the flesh is our enemy. We understand that. And the flesh causes us to be carnally minded instead of spiritually minded. But it's not impossible. No, this is not perfection. Colossians chapter 3, if we do these things, it's not perfection, it's normality. Think about that. It's normal, because we are born again. Everybody look at me tonight. If you're saved, you are born again. You are given a new nature. You are born again. That means you have inside of you a new nature that can be used, that should be used, that's supposed to be used, and that works every time. All right? So these are the things that is normal. Now, if we would do these normal things, then maybe supernatural things would happen. All right, old-time preacher named Vance Havner, he said that we have become so subnormal that when we get normal, people think we're abnormal. Yeah, And that is true. So this is normal Christian life. What we're talking about is normal Christian life. And he said, well, I just got a problem with that. Well, yeah, we all do. We all do. Anybody says they don't have a problem with, well, be careful. Watch your pocketbook and your kids. Because it's hard to want to beat your kids and steal your money. All right, everybody's got a problem with these things. Some of it worse than others. All right. Sometimes things is just tough. All right. But I got Christ in me. So we're going to pick up. We get to pick up on verse 13 is where we're going to pick up. Wonderful verse. Verse 13. Listen, we better pray, hadn't we? We better pray together is what we ought to do, probably. Father, we come to you tonight, and Lord, I understand full well that I fail in what I'm supposed to do because I'm rebellious against you and your spirit. And Lord, I'm more inclined a lot of times to live in the flesh instead of live in the spirit, and I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, and thanking you already tonight that you have put inside of me what's necessary for me to live godly and righteously, and I can add to that the virtue and the faith, a lot of things I can add to that, but you've already given me what's necessary. Lord, I pray that I might use it. Lord, I pray you give me wisdom. I pray, Lord, that you will thin the thickness in between my ears. Lord, that I might listen to you and obey you. And Lord, I pray tonight that you might touch me fresh with the Holy Spirit. Help me to teach, preach as you want me to, that's pleasing to you. But help us to get this word in our mind and our heart and to live it as you say, that we might be pleasing to you and be a witness to others. And we're going to thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's start at verse 1. I'm going to read down through verse 13 so we can get our minds back in Colossians chapter 3, okay? Now, we've called your attention to all the action verbs that's in these verses, the things that we, and is required of us, that the Lord will not do for us. He's going to give us the power to do it, but the things listed in here, he's not going to do for us. This is our part. Does everybody understand? This is our part. Now, so let's start here. And I love the way it starts out. If ye then be risen with Christ, if ye then be risen, if you're saved, if you then be risen with Christ, then do this. All right, everybody follow me? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now, that goes along with, if ye then be risen with Christ, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Now, we're going to pick up on verse 13, and we hit it some the last time, but let's look at it again. And that's there in the middle of your paper there, the front page of your paper there. Forbearing and forgiving one another goes together here, all right? And we want to look at this forbearing just for a moment. It's on your paper there, and we're not going to, we need to dwell on it, but it hurts really bad, don't it? You know, forgiveness, we can say, I forgive you, a lot easier than we can put up with you. Is that not right? Sometimes we forgive somebody so we don't have to put up with them. But forbearing is really putting up with people. Forbearing is putting up with people because they have flaws and faults and failures, and you put up with it. This is good for the church and especially good for the home. Okay? Especially good for spouses. Especially good for children. Parents and children. See, a lot of times we forget that children are children and they're just acting upon what they're taught. And when we take out our impurities on our children for their imperfections, then we have chaos in the home when the husband and wife are not forbearing one another. We're okay with that so far. So, let's look here, right in the middle of the paper. Forbearing and forgiving one another is necessary. And this means that Christians should be patient and understanding with each other. Well, I don't have patience. That's what we all say. I don't have patience. I'm not going to ever pray for patience. Well, the Bible says that's through the Spirit. If you're saved, if you're risen with Christ, you got it. You got patience. Everybody understand it? You got patience. Now, what we ought to say is, I refuse to use my patience. Because I want to be rebellious. I want to be rebellious against the Spirit of God, so I'm not going to use my patience. I'm going to fly off a handle because I can't control it. See, all of them are lies. Okay? All of them's lies. We can. All right? It's just we choose not to. Now, Christians should be patient and understanding, overlooking faults, and offering forgiveness as Christ forgives. See, it says in verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. How does he forgive me? He forgives me regardless of what I do. He forgives me regardless of how many times a day I do it. He forgives me regardless of how bad it makes him look. He forgives me regardless of the depth or the severity of the wrong. He forgives me regardless of how personal or how much it hurts or how much I'm hurt or how much it hurts someone else. He forgives across the board. Everybody understand that? And that's how we're to forgive. All right? Now, to be patient and tolerant with one another's weakness and perfections, we can be patient more than we can be tolerant. Because we don't think people ought to act the way they act. Have you ever said, I don't know why they act like that? Anybody ever said that? How come we act like we do? You know, we say that about others. You know others say that about us. You know that. You know, it's not just us saying, I don't know why they act like it, because we're acting the same way. Everybody understand that? Everybody understands that we're really, verse 13 really wears us all out. You know? Because we're more concerned about our feelings than someone else. We're more concerned about our feelings than someone else. That's called selfishness. Okay? Yes. Now, I found the best way to take medicine. You just go ahead and take it. Yeah. Sometimes you got to hold your nose so you don't have to taste it. You know, if you have trouble swallowing, hold your nose. You'll swallow it. Okay? Now, this means putting up with each other's quirks and shortcomings. Anybody here got any weird ways? Huh? We all got weird ways, don't we? You know? How many spouses? How many husband and wives? Yeah, that, you're really weird. Huh? Really weird. But we're supposed to put up with it. Yeah? If we were all the same, how bad would that be? God makes us different, all right? He makes us different, but He puts the same thing inside of us to live the same way. Do I understand that? We all got different personalities, but He comes inside of us that we all might have the same attitude expressed with our own personality. All right? Now, my dad was a hard man. I never had to ask my dad if he loved me. But my dad was not the kind to sit down and tell him, son, just want to know I love you. And that didn't happen. But I knew he did because of everything he sacrificed, everything he done. But he wasn't the kind of, oh, come on, let's hug, son. That didn't happen with my dad. Okay? But that was his personality. All right? Well, we're all like that. Some things we don't have to do, we show it. All right? Sometimes people say it and don't mean it. But our actions will speak louder than words. Are we okay with this? Now, we got to recognize people's flaws. We got to recognize they have them. All right? For bearing one another, sometimes we got to hear someone else's side before we judge. Sometimes we got to hear somebody else's side before we even argue. Well, wait a minute. We ain't supposed to argue anyway. Rick, tell us, no fussing loud. Huh? Is that all right? Now, everybody still okay? Yeah. Sometimes we need to give in instead of trying to win an argument. Sometimes we're bent on winning an argument. Sometimes we boast that we made somebody look stupid because they was wrong. And we want to rub their face in it. They was wrong. And we want them to know they was wrong. We want everybody to know they was wrong. And then we want to not never let them forget they was wrong so we can glorify the Lord. But the Lord ain't glorified with that. We are. Okay? We still okay? We need sometimes to take the fault or the loss. Everybody still with me? Forgiving one another when there's a quarrel. Whether they ask or not. I'm ready to forgive them when they ask me. Well, no. You ain't going to forgive them when they do ask you. Because your forgiveness is on your terms. You're not wanting to release that person. See, forgiveness really don't release that person. Forgiveness releases you. Reconciliation and forgiveness is two different things. Forgiveness is mercy and putting it away. Then when we do that, then we can work on reconciliation as if it never happened. But it ought to be quick mercy shown. Anybody here not been shown mercy? Has anybody here not been shown mercy? No. We've all been shown mercy. So what should we probably ought to show? Mercy. 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 Right? Right? Can I ask you this? If we're right, why does it matter we got to prove it? Have you ever had a discussion with someone and you knew you was right? Right? You knew it. But you knew you wasn't going to benefit arguing about it. Right? So if you're right, you're right. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. Nothing, the arguing ain't going to change it. So forbearing and forgiveness comes in. Is everybody okay with that? Talk to me. All right. Now, I got wrote down there something that I've said all my life, I reckon. A bulldog can whoop a skunk, but it ain't worth the smell. You know? A bulldog can whoop a skunk every time. You can prove you're right and argue and do all that, and it's all well and fine, it's a done deal, but the stink that it causes ain't worth it. You know? And can I tell you, have you ever noticed that you'll pass a skunk mashed on the road, but it don't stink where the skunk's mashed? It always stinks up the road further. Why is that? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, you see that skunk on the road, oh, don't hit that, but there ain't no smell there. But you go half off the road, my goodness. And that's the way arguments are. It may not stink right there where you're at, but it'll stink up a road. We okay with that? All right. Now, again, is Christ exalted when we win an argument? He's not. When we force the issue, he's not exalted. And my life ought to be exalting Christ. Let's look at a couple of scriptures, can we? How about Romans chapter 2? We okay? I ain't. Romans chapter 2, let's look at verse 4. Said, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? See, Christ has forbearance and forgiveness and longsuffering. And Christ is in our life, so we exercise that same thing. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Huh? How about Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 2. It says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Huh? See, that's why Brother Rick tells us there's no fuss and loud down at the house. If we forbear and forgive and we are in unity and we're endeavoring, striving, working at it to keep that bond of peace, there'll be a peaceful home. Hmm? Have you ever noticed that some children are tense and stressed out and mean as sin? And then some kids are happy and laugh and just... Did you know that the kids that are stressed out come from turmoil home? And the kids that are happy come from a peaceful home? Because mom and dad get along. So watch your kids. What was it Marcus told us at youth camp? Raise your kids that other people like to be around them. That's a big statement. Raise your kids so other people would want them. You know? The reason I'm saying that is because husbands and wives, this is something we need to work on, is that forbearance and forgiveness. And there'll be less door slamming. There'll be less closet door slamming, car door slamming. There'll be less drawers slamming. There'll be less shoes thrown. Huh? We okay? When we forbear and forgive, there'll be less pouting. Remember when we done the bulletproofing? You remember that over 70% of the 58 people that filled out them papers, the 58 couples that filled out them papers, over 70% wrote on that. They didn't put their name, but they wrote on there that they had trouble with pouting, that they pouted. And I thought of all the things that we had wrote on there, I thought that was surely people don't pout. I was never allowed to pout. My daddy took the pout out of me. And I was just a little tiny guy. Huh? And I couldn't believe that grown people pouted. But the reason they pout is because the forbearance and forgiveness is not there. Is everybody okay?
Yes.
I'm trying to help us. See, now, if it ain't at home, listen to me now. If forbearance and forgiveness ain't at home, it's not going to be at the church house. Let me say that again. If forbearance and forgiveness is not at home, it's not going to be at the church house.
Right.
Remember that. In fact, I was going to say, ain't nothing going to be in the church house if it ain't down at the house. Nothing will be. All right? Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another. I don't know why, but it always wears me out when I read that. Tender hearted. I'm serious. I'm not saying it for a joke. I don't know about y'all, but it really bothers me. Because I'm not. Be ye kind. I'm sharp when it was my speech. And I'm ashamed of that. I've tried to work on it. I like sarcasm for humor. You know, I like sarcastic humor. That's okay, you know. But I don't have to be sharp. Sometimes my words are sharp. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. That tender-hearted just don't match. Orrin Schaefer said something that really made me think. He said, Brother Rick is just a loving kind of guy. He said, Preacher, you do. You just got to skin you 3 or 4 layers to find it. And I thought, I said, wow. He said, Brother Rick is barehanded. He said, but you got rough work gloves on. Huh? I do love you. I really do. But that kind and tender hearted, I got to work on. My flesh gets in the way. Forgiving one another, I can do that. I can do that. Huh? I can do that. I've done got to the point, and I'm not saying this bravely, but I've worked on. I don't know that you could offend me. I don't know whether I've just hardened my heart so hard that you can't offend me, or whether I've tried to become more like Christ. But I hope it's that I've become more like Christ. But does any of these verses affect any of y'all? Could y'all talk to me? Does any of these verses affect y'all like it affects me? I mean, it really does. I mean, I'm trying to confess my faults to you, trying to help myself. But be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I use that verse all the time in preaching, but I tell you, it gets me. Now let's look on back in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Forbearing one another, forgiving one, if any man have a quarrel. Now, that means that there's going to be times there's going to be a quarrel. But it says, even as Christ forgave you, then also do ye. There's going to be times that we're going to lock horns. There's going to be times that people lock horns. Spouses, parents and children, friends. There's going to be times of that. But if we'll be quick to forbear and forgive as Christ does, then there won't be no episodes. Huh? See, the reaction of the action is what causes the damage. Everybody understand? You know, once we say it, we can't take it back. Once it's said, all the I'm sorry's don't matter. Once it's said, all the I'm sorry's, it may be forgiven, but it seems so shallow. Because I'm sorry seems like it's never as big as the statement made. Are we all right with that? That's why we better forbear and forgive before it ever takes place. Okay? Well, let's get off that. Right. What do you think? What do you think? Better probably read one more verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 5. It says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. See, we better be careful that it just don't come out of our mouth, but that our heart is what's clean. Because empty words don't do nothing but bring a black eye to Christ. Do you understand that? And we are to exemplify Christ in every way. And this is normal Christianity. I know it's tough, but it's normal. Let's look at verse 14. It says, and above all, my goodness, and above all, that means it's even greater than what we just said. Well, can I tell you, verse 13 is about as big as it gets. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And above all, most important, put on charity. Clothe yourself in charity. Put on charity. Put it on. And that charity in this context, all right, is that agape love of Christ, like He gives us. That's the sacrificial love. That's the deepest of all giving, of all there is. You know, charity is used in a lot of ways of love and for giving, but it's always in giving and sacrificial giving. It's always like that. All right? It's unconditional. Self-sacrificing, unconditional. Can I say that again? It's unconditional. Huh? Man. And it's not just a feeling. But it's an active, intentional love expressed through action. It's an actual thing. Huh? All right? Now, we got wrote down there, that Psalms 119, 165, and that's a great peace have thee, love thy law, nothing shall offend thee. Huh? How many people have got that one memorized since we've been given? Huh? That's a good one. We need it. Great peace have thee, love thy law, nothing, and nothing, and nothing, and nothing shall offend thee. Huh? All right. Look at verse 15. Verse 14, it says, above all, if we put on, now remember now, we're taking off and putting on. When we put it on, we're going to wear it. We're going to wear, be clothed with charity. Be clothed with unconditional, sacrificial, self-sacrificing love. How sweet, hey guys, how sweet will our home be? Because He told us to love our wife like Christ loved the church. If we love in that charitable, unconditional, unsacrificing love to our spouse, how sweet would things be down at the house? Huh? Think about that. Verse 15. And now it says, and let the peace of God. Now, permit it. It's available, permitted, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Don't just have the peace of God, but let it rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God be the leader to rule. Let it reign in our hearts. That's what it said. Now this is for man and woman both. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. Now, this brings all of us back together as a church in one body. Spouses, kids, parents, friends, family, we're all one here. We okay? And we look at this and say, man, if I do that, I'm going to be a super Christian. No, if we do this, we'll just be a Christian. If we do this, we'll just be a Christian. Because if we're not doing this, we sure ain't much of a Christian. Okay? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Permit the peace of God to rule. Now that's this new life. That's the new life in Christ. Alright? It is the peace that passeth all understanding. It is. And we're supposed to be. It's normal. It calls for Christians to live in harmony. Do you understand the sweetness that's going to be down at the house? How will that sweetness be at the church? You reckon it'd be a problem for the power of God to take over a service if we had that sweetness down at the house? But I tell you how we are. We're like the Boone family on Andy Griffin. You know, right? We either fight and feud at home and act like we get along with everybody else, or we're lovey-dovey at home and can't nobody stand to be around. Y'all know the episode I'm talking about when Annie does the marriage counseling? I mean, there's so many things there that's like us. We just don't like to admit it, but it is. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Is everybody still okay? Romans chapter 8, verse 6. It says, for to be carnally minded. Now, when the flesh works on us, it's just carnality coming out in us. Now, Paul's writing to a church here. He's writing to the church at Rome. And he's talking about them being carnally minded. Wait a minute. That ain't supposed to be, is it? Well, it may not supposed to be, but it is. If we read verse 5 with it, it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Man, we get fleshly so easy. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, that carnality and flesh all comes together. And that flesh is selfish. That flesh wants what it wants. That flesh wants to feel good. That flesh wants its pleasure. That flesh wants to one-up you. That flesh wants to push you down. That's what the flesh does. Yeah. But the spirituality, it wants everybody else to be right. Flesh, remember that. When we want somebody else to be hurt, when we want somebody else... They pass us going 90 miles an hour. I hope they get caught right up a road. Why are we like that? It ain't none of our business. They didn't hurt us going by us 90 miles an hour. They didn't hurt us a bit. Why do we care how fast they go? It's none of our business. But how many of us say, boy, I hope a feller's setting up there. I hope he gets them just soon they round the curve. We say it all the time. But it's not just in speeding. We live our life like that, wanting someone else to suffer what we're guilty of doing. How many times do we fly around somebody that fast and, boy, I'm glad he wasn't looking. You understand? We're talking about carnal mind and spiritual mind. The reason that I fail in being the normal Christian is because I'm fleshly minded. Does everybody understand that? The reason I fail being a normal Christian, not a super Christian, I ain't never got that far. I ain't got normal yet. But the reason I can't be a normal Christian is because I'm fleshly minded. My. How about Philippians 4? Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Man, that peace of God, if I'll just let that peace of God, if I'll let it rule, then my mind and my heart is going to be where Christ wants it. If I let it. That's that fight. That's why Paul said that the spirit and the flesh fight. That it causes issues. Huh? Esau and Jacob in me. Huh? Everybody all right with that? Better quit at me. That's enough. That's enough. What do you think? Is the Word of God not wonderful? You know? Ain't no way man wrote that. Ain't no way. Ain't no way that man wrote them. He'd have left that out. Man would have left that out. But God said, no, y'all need it. Father, help us to live like you said we could. In Jesus' name, amen.